Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is Munchcast with Cammy Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 72 for January 18th, 2010. I would do anything for loaf. And now, a Munchcast special production. The late, great junk food kings. With Cammy Blackstone and Leo Laporte. Hello, Cammy!
Hi, Leo! How are you? I'm frantically trying to find the guy's name now.
The SpaghettiOs guy passed.
Yeah, wait a second. Oh, my gosh. When I panic, I can't type very well.
It's okay. It's okay. Let me just give you some setup here.
Oh, please. I just did SpaghettiOs death, and it came... Oh, there we are. Donald Gorky.
The great Donald Gorky has passed on to that great Chef Boyardee in the sky.
Uh-oh, that's my other phone.
He's calling from heaven.
Sorry.
A call from heaven.
Huh?
This tribute really sucks.
I'm so
Even
sorry.
Even for the guy who invented SpaghettiOs, this is a new low.
Oh, you know what the worst part is?
What?
Well, he did, Donald Gorky did lead a very long and fruitful life, not only creating SpaghettiOs, but also Chunky Soup.
No.
But he did choke to death. And
on a chunk?
I don't know, but he did say that he... You know what? I should have read this before I started.
What did he say?
I was thrown off by the 8-year-old calling, but... He did die during his normal evening snack of SpaghettiOs and chocolate milk, but he was 83.
That's so disgusting. I can't even believe it.
I know. But, you know, he was with the Campbell Organization for 50 years.
Oh,
50 long years. And he contributed to the American culinary culture like nobody else.
Yeah. And, of course, if you read the obituary in the New York Times, you know that the cause was heart failure.
Oh, so it wasn't choking?
It wasn't choking.
Well, it says he choked to death Sunday night while eating his customary bedtime snack of SpaghettiOs and chocolate milk at the age of 83.
The Journal of Record would not lie.
Oh, okay. Well, this is from glossynews.com.
Yeah, no, they got it all wrong. Who did they get the obituary wrong for in the New York Times? I can't remember now.
I hope it wasn't Art Clokey, because he died this week, too.
The creator of Gumby.
Yeah.
Introduced in 1965, SpaghettiOs has been a fixture in the American pantry ever since its memorable advertising jingle. What was it, Cammy? Do you remember?
SpaghettiOs.
Sung by?
The Archies.
Jimmy Rogers.
Oh, was it really?
Yes. According to the New York Times, that is indelibly lodged in the throat of public consciousness.
Did he do it like for all the many years of SpaghettiOs or just the kickoff of the launch of the product?
Probably he just launched it and then somebody with a Jimmy Rogers-like voice took
over. I think Jimmy Rogers did a lot of jingles, though. I feel like he might have done Honeycomb.
Honeycomb. Yeah, he must have done Honeycomb. He must have done. Sure.
I feel like he did.
Sure.
If not, let's just go ahead and say he did and then people will be marveling over our intellect.
We're so brilliant.
Yeah, but it is sad because my son eats SpaghettiOs probably twice a week.
I don't know why this is coming up when I search for SpaghettiOs.
You don't get it. You hit it over there.
But Grandpa's over there.
He smells funny.
It's Grandpa Jimmy Rogers?
Go get it.
Or maybe it's Donald Gorky. I don't know why this came up.
I don't know. Why is he wearing a down jacket?
He's got a fishing pole.
He doesn't even look that old.
What is going on?
What are you watching?
I don't know. We're channeling some weird YouTube video. It just happened. I hope it has something to do with SpaghettiOs, or I'm just going to have to rewind this whole show.
Come on, you wanted to play? Look.
Uh-oh. Grandpa's standing up. he's wandering.
Quick, get down.
Why is she wearing like a scuba shirt?
I don't know, but Grandpa's going into
the
shed.
The shed is
Dad. Yeah, what's up? It's Grandpa. He's moving.
That's fine, dear.
No, he's going.
Uh-oh, he's shaving with a straight razor.
Ted Kaczynski shack.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Not the SpaghettiOs dish.
I hope this is a long-form SpaghettiOs commercial directed by David Lynch. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
Yay!
Okay, that's enough of that.
Show them your old face.
Okay, that's definitely not an official commercial.
I am aghast.
That's what happens when you search YouTube for uh-oh,
God.
SpaghettiOs.
You're trying to honor Donald Gurky.
And what do we get? Some weird...
It's so horrifying.
I do think that Show Us Your O-Face could have been a good...
I think that is actually one of their little slogans. Oh, my God. Can we get to the subject at hand?
Ladies and gentlemen, today on Munchcast, our topic is not SpaghettiOs. We just wanted to honor poor Donald Gurky, the creator of Chunky.
What an
and
honor it was.
And what an honor it has been. Today we discuss meatloaf. It's our Meatloaf Munchcast.
And we're not talking Marvin O'Day or A'Day or whatever his name is.
Is that his real name?
Yeah. Not Bat Out of Hell. Not Mr. Jim Steinman produced Paradise by the Dashboard
no,
Lights.
No, more like...
You hungry? Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
What? The meatloaf!
Yeah! Yeah!
Can we get some meatloaf, Ma?
You know what?
Hey, Ma!
Meatloaf has been...
The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
What movie
what
is that?
Doing? I never know what she's doing back there.
That's Wedding
she's
Crashers.
Making a loaf. Making a loaf.
She's making meatloaf.
She's
meatloaf is one of those things that as a kid I loathed. And I hope I'm not, my mother's not watching and suddenly finding this out for the first time. But it just wasn't, it was not tasty. It was not delicious. And I don't know if it's because I've gotten old or because meatloaf's gotten good. But now I love meatloaf.
I do too. I love a good loaf. Well, you know, part of it is that meatloaf was really a budget stretcher. You know, it was just sort of like everything you had left over, ground beef, throwing some breadcrumbs, throwing some eggs and, you know, some ketchup. And so people used it just to kind of stretch the budget. But it's gotten a bit of a bad rap. I mean, people talk about meatloaf with such disdain. And I, you know, I think that that's really unfortunate.
Meatloaf. I hate meatloaf.
You mean that kind of disdain?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, there's even a book out called Middle School is Worse Than Meatloaf.
Nothing.
It's like a kid's book that right. My son brought home. And, you know, and meatloaf is delicious. I mean, really, it's kind of like the poor man's pate in a way.
Well, that's a good analogy.
And
you know, the good meatloaf that I've had, like we have everyone, it's a special. It's not even on the menu. Special meatloaf sandwich over here at the Petaluma Tea Room is to die for. It's moist. It's flavorful. Mm. It comes on a lovely Kaiser roll with mayonnaise. And
that's the key, the mayo. Mayo is something special.
Pickled onions.
So good. And, you know, and I think that that's another reason where, like, people... God, my mouth is watering. Pardon my salivating.
I know, I'm sorry. I can't talk anymore.
You're killing me. You know, but the whole, like, negative connotation of loafing. Like, she loafs around the house. She's a, you know, what a loaf. I'm
right.
Wearing my loafers.
Right. Does that come from meatloaf?
It's bad.
Does that?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it just because if it came from bread, they would have said loaves. You know,
she's a loaf. She's a loaver, not a fighter.
Or she loaves around the house.
She loaves around.
But I've never heard people say meat loaves. They always say meat loafs.
You're right.
You know.
You're right.
So
there's only you know that's a very good point.
You know, and so I think that people, you know, they don't like when they're a kid because it's a little bit mystery meat, kind of. And it's the budget stretching thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't have it for a long time. And then suddenly it sort of becomes this sort of yanking on your heartstrings comfort food of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go through your like fancy pants, you know, sashimi and Kobe beef.
No,
and then all
no,
of a sudden
but,
you're like,
yeah.
I want to go back. I want to go back to those days.
To your roots.
You have mashed potatoes and meatloaf and a big frothy glass of milk, you know.
Yeah, but come on, SpaghettiOs and chocolate milk, that's not good.
No.
That's a phlegm producer.
And right, you know, there. What the other thing is, yeah, it would be. Yeah, milk bubble. You talk like Kermit or someone. but the thing about meatloaf is that now you just like blew it.
I'm sorry. Meatloaf.
Okay, so SpaghettiOs, canned food, you know, is made in a factory somewhere, but it's always tastes like SpaghettiOs, whereas I don't know that I really like meatloaf that's not prepared homemade, like, or at a restaurant. Like, I don't think I could go for the frozen.
Oh, no, canned meatloaf, I can guarantee you, would not be a taste sensation. It's basically Spam.
Or frozen. No. You know, I was doing a little Twitter about meatloaf, and this guy said, I said, hey, you know, send your meatloaf tips and secrets. And this guy sent me, oh, I always put little bits of Spam in my meatloaf. And I thought, wow. That's really how much. And I was like all into it. And I said, hey, give me your ratio. I need to know this because I actually have Spam on me. And he said, you idiot. That's actually from Misery. It's from the Stephen King movie.
Oh,
Misery.
Really? The line, I put Spam in my meatloaf?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm that sure doesn't make it bad.
No, but I was just kidding.
Sometimes I get my recipes from horror movies. I admit it.
You know what? Does Stephen King have a cookbook? Because maybe that would be something good.
The Stephen King cookbook. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs.
I think he actually directed that commercial.
That commercial we saw was the Stephen King.
I think that was his very first cinematic project.
Yeah. It was pretty horrific. God. I hope you didn't see the video, ladies and gentlemen, because that just was over the top. But I think our audio narration was actually pretty good. It was okay.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, people are often looking for a secret to meatloaf. And I know that one secret is using a variety of meats. So if you use like a little bit of pork or a little bit of veal with your just regular hamburger meat, it's better. And then they also say to use fresh breadcrumbs and not the breadcrumbs like in a can. You know,
Moist is good.
Moist is good. And then also overkneading. Overkneading.
Don't overknead. Don't overknead. That's tough.
Like loaf. Yeah.
No, I learned that with a hamburger of any kind, ground beef of any kind, you just touch it lightly. Move on.
Yeah. It's like a gentle massage, not, you know, not a shiatsu.
No, just as little as you can to mix together the ingredients. And my mother, and this may be your Italian heritage or something, but would put, I believe she put a can of tomato paste in her meatloaf.
Tomato paste. You know, some people, you know, they cheap out and they just use their ketchup.
No, No. That's not the same at all.
You know, and I do, going back to my Bible of 52 loaves, which I believe is out of print. If you can get one on eBay or somewhere, you should grab it.
You know how Julie and Julia, she worked through the, you know, the French guide to French cooking, Julia Child.
Joy of
French.
Mastering the art of French cooking.
You could work through this, maybe 50, a different meatloaf every week.
It's one for every week of the year. And not only does it have a loaf for every week of the year, but it also has side dishes. And I've gotten some great side dishes out of this one. But my favorite loaf, and I'll have to go to the one that's the most, here we go. The Dream Loaf. You know why the Dream Loaf is so good?
Why?
Because it's wrapped in bacon.
Oh, yeah. My mom did that. She'd put strips of bacon along the top. And sometimes if she felt festive, she'd put a hard-boiled egg in the middle.
Egg in the middle loaf is in here. Your mother's recipe is here. They also use saltine crackers as opposed to breadcrumbs. And then they add...
That's going
to
dry
4 ounces of Jack cheese to kind of smooth that out.
Or 4 ounces of Jack Daniels.
Ooh, the drunken loaf.
I bet that'd be
drunken
good. You know, meatloaf kind of begs to be, meatloaf recipes beg to be kind of amended and annotated and modified because it really is, after all, just some meat in a loaf pan that's baked. That's right. So you could really do anything. You could stick an egg in there, put bacon on top, put chocolate in it for all, you know, I know.
Well, you know, there's
onion soup mix. That's people do that, but that's more like I do that in my hamburgers sometimes.
Oh, the onion soup mix is so delicious though in the meatloaf. It's killer. It really elevates your loaf because
I think
you don't have to...
The Tea Rooms meatloaf has veal in it, and I think that's what makes it so tender.
The veal makes it very, very soft.
Yeah.
And delicious.
Yeah.
But you know, I was reading this meatloaf poetry. And there's this guy, Donald Hall, who's a poet laureate. He's a cowboy poet.
He's a cowboy poet.
Lariat. But he does this whole like tragic poem called Meatloaf. But one thing he says on this in the sixth stanza, he says, so you buy 2 pounds of cheap fat hamburger, and chop up a big onion, add leaves of basil, Tabasco, newspaper ads, soy sauce, quail eggs, driftwood, tomato ketchup, and library paste. And that's kind of what meatloaf is. It's just a little bit of something of everything. Whatever you can put in there is fine. It's just fine. I like to put a little chopped parsley in there just for color. You can put some green onion. It's good. Some, you know, bell pepper, whatever you want. Whatever you want. And I did also get a great email from, where'd he go? Peter, who said he likes to make his meatloaf to mimic the meat sort of sausagey filling of dim sum. It's more of an Asian flavored meatloaf.
Ah.
I mean, you know, and I did send you a lovely recipe of a cranberry meatloaf that you could make for Thanksgiving.
Piled high and smothered in rich brown gravy. I'm Peyton Manning, and if you like meatloaf as much as me, then I've got the car for you. The new Mercedes 550, a meatloaf lover's dream. Look inside. Rich leather upholstery, wood grain highlights, and a stainless steel meatloaf oven simply to die for. This is your car. Only the very best and tastiest meatloafs cooked right here while you drive. Succulent. Juicy. Done right. Perfect meatloaf straight from the oven and into your mouth. Not enough? Check out what our engineer did to the truck. Or should I say, the butler's pantry. Gravy
hole.
Ketchup. Wow. Frozen loaf.
I want this car.
And here's the best part. You ride around in the 550 without your pants on. That's right. No pants.
That's a Saturday Night Live skit, Peyton Manning and the meatloaf Mercedes.
You know, meatloaf and Mercedes are two things you don't hear together often.
No.
And I think it's their time.
And I thank movieweb.com for that link.
I wonder if there's anyone listening right now.
GM Costrivas for tweeting that.
Oh, that was nice. Thank you.
Yeah. I have your Ford sink. I'm taking the meatloaf Mercedes.
Now, if there's anyone from Chicago listening right now, there is a place called the Meatloaf Bakery. I just sent you the link, Leo, and they actually do make all kinds of meatloafs every day. It's just tons and tons of loaves available at the ready.
So it's like a meatloaf bakery.
It's a meatloaf bakery.
Wow.
Take it to go. Have it there. They have everyday favorites. They got specials. They got something here called loafies. So I'm like the mother loafie. So these are
the mother loafie.
They take their meatloaf and then they miniaturize them into bite-sized hors d'oeuvres.
Mm.
So you can get flights.
Mini meatloaf.
So they have the mother loaf.
A flight of meatloaf.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds delicious.
I know. I wonder if they mail order.
Oh, man.
Because there is, I did find one place that does do meatloaf by mail.
What's a good wine to serve with meatloaf?
You know, I like a Zinfandel.
Yeah, or that a Matus Rosé maybe in a fine earthenware jug.
Sure. Or, you know, a Manischewitz.
What is going on?
You know, this is a three-ring circus.
No,
here,
I love it. The boy, you mentioned meatloaf, the boys show up. Do your boys like meatloaf?
Apple stock worth today.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
He wants to know how much apple stock is today.
Oh, there you go. Now that's a son worth having. Forget meatloaf. What's the apple price?
Well, he's doing a stock project in school.
Well, tell him the market's not open on the weekend, so he doesn't really have to ask, you know.
Oh, all right.
But it closed on Friday at $205.93. That's up 7 cents.
Oh, well,
I'm sorry. It's down 3.50, but then it was up 7 cents after hours.
I don't know how they do that. It's magic. It's magic. So, you know, Leo, I know that you are kind of like on the health kick.
I'm on a diet. This show is going to kill me.
Well, there are, you know, in the 52 meatloaf.
No diet meatloaf.
There are grilled vegetable and turkey loaf. That's actually quite delicious.
That wouldn't be bad.
And then also bison is really making a move in the meatloaf market right now.
Bison.
And
bison
is
very
lowering
very lean.
Cholesterol, lowering fat. And so you can make a bison loaf.
That would be okay. Might be a little gamey.
Well,
is meatloaf Italian?
I don't know. I mean, I guess because it's kind of like a giant meatball, which is Italian. But I think that if you go back through history, you will find that, you know, the meat pies in England.
Sure. Sure. There's always been, as long as there's been meat.
You know, meatloaf itself didn't make an appearance until the meat grinders showed up. Because you can't make, like, you know.
No, you could chop meat.
You can chop it, but it's just not the same. You need to have that ground texture so that it's like baby food.
What are some other oddball ingredients people put in meatloaf?
The first time I ever heard of the cranberry meatloaf was from a Munchcast listener. I want to thank her for that. And actually, one of the oddest meatloaf twists I've heard in a long time just happened the other day in Florida. I don't know if you caught this on the news, Leo, but it was in Bradenton, Florida. Authorities say a man was arrested for allegedly smearing meatloaf in his wife's face while they were discussing separation.
Assault by meatloaf.
Yeah.
See, I don't think that's really so very bad. I would just lick it off and move on.
It's not like it was a super hard meatloaf that he, used as like a blunt object.
No, meatloaf is moist and soft and delicious.
The deputies arrived at the home at 7:45 and found the woman's face was slightly red and slathered with a small amount of residual sauce.
See, she licked it off. See, I'm telling you, she's not going to waste a good meatloaf. How about putting Italian sausage in there? That would be good.
That would be good. And as a matter of fact, there is a meatloaf recipe I came across. It's a pizza meatloaf where you do just that. And then you slather it not with the traditional ketchup or tomato sauce, but with actual spaghetti sauce. Actually, it's a jar of Ragu.
So, make some sauce. Do yourself a favor. Make a real sauce.
Some people, I think, when you have like the bad taste in your mouth for meatloaf, you're thinking of something more along the lines of Scrapple.
Ah, what is Scrapple? That's Scrapple. Pennsylvania Dutch country stuff.
Yeah, and Scrapple there, I think that it comes from the term crap.
It does not.
Yeah.
No, it can't. It couldn't possibly.
Why not?
Who would name food after that?
It's pork mush, okay?
It's
pork
what's mush. Left over. It's kind of, it's a mush of pork scraps and trimmings combined with cornmeal and flour, often buckwheat flour and spice. It's, it's a meatloaf.
It's a loaf. It's meat, and it's meat with bread and then pushed together into a loaf.
This sounds appetizing. According to Wikipedia, the mush is formed into a semi-solid congealed loaf, and slices of the scrapple are then pan-fried before serving.
Yeah.
It's made out of scraps of meat left over from butchering that are not otherwise useful.
Snout and tail.
Hoof.
The stuff that, the hot dog people won't even touch. Now, there is something called I'm not sure if I can pronounce this right, but it's out of Wisconsin called Case, K-A-E-S-E, and that's a sausage loaf. So that would be straight sausage in the loaf form. I don't know if you've tried that. Any of our folks that live there in America's Dairyland of Wisconsin? I see Case.
Yeah. We don't have it in the Northern
Embotido? Embotido? That's the Filipino meatloaf.
Yeah. In England, they have hog's pudding.
Hog's pudding?
In Ireland, they have white pudding.
Yes, they do. We have that actually here in the Sunset District. Because we have many, many Irish people.
I thought it was what the brothers did if they caught you walk around late at night.
We've got many mix out here.
Okay.
Many of the Irish here in the Sunset District of San Francisco. And so at the Irish Cultural Center, which I know some people think that's sort of an oxymoron, they actually have a delicious Irish breakfast that has white pudding with it.
I'm not a fan of white pudding. I think I'm going to stick with basic meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's, you actually kind of like the fancy pants meatloaf, though, too.
I do. I'm a fancy pants kind of guy.
Well, and that's the thing, is that meatloaf has really turned the corner. And now that we have, like, your Kobe beef and your fancy, like, $12 hamburgers, meatloaf has gone upscale. And, in fact, there was an article not long ago, the humble meatloaf as hot cuisine. And so now, like, even the fanciest of four-star restaurants are busting out the loaves now and again.
Oh, man, I love it. Well, they're coming, they're basically comfort food. They're coming back to comfort food, and everybody wants comfort food.
I'm reading in this Fancy Pants article, Leo, that one of the most, there's many different varieties of meatloaves are cooks. I've had them with brandy sometimes.
See, that's like the Jack Daniels one I was talking
about. Yeah, they pair it with brandy. That's odd. I would never think to pair brandy with a meatloaf, but that's something I will try.
Well, that sounds great. It was my instinct to put booze in it, so I take credit for that.
You know what? You're right, because actually in Lynchburg, Tennessee, where they make Jack Daniel's.
See? You see what I'm saying?
They make the Whiskey Whopper, which is a burger with whiskey in it. So I will give that a try the next time.
I thought the Whiskey Whopper was the lie you told your wife when you got home at 4 in the morning.
Well, it's that too.
Okay.
It's, you know, what do they call that when a word has two meanings?
Yeah, it's one of them.
What do they call that?
Whiskey Whopper.
No!
No?
You know, but it's
a word has two meanings? Onomatopoeia?
No.
An acronym?
No, I don't know.
Anthology?
I think it's a homonym.
A homonym. Same word, two different meanings. Same sound, two different meanings.
Yeah. So Whiskey Whopper could be both kind of.
Like
right?
Cleveland and dump. That would be a homonym. No?
No, those are two different words with different sounds and the same meaning.
Emmy says yes. Emmy's here from San Diego. So it's the famous San Diego-Cleveland rivalry rears its ugly head once again.
I hate it when that happens.
I hate that.
I know. So anyway, I think that with any loaf, you can pair it with anything and put anything in it, and it's going to be delicious as long as you cook it at 350 and the internal temperature reaches 160 degrees. That's my final word on meatloaf.
Do you use a meatloaf thermometer?
I use a meat thermometer. It's not specifically meatloaf thermometer, just because I have had the misfortune of having,
I would recommend not using a candy thermometer.
No,
because
no,
you know, cooking a meatloaf to the hard ball stage is not a good idea.
No. And you know, you can go the other way too, which is when it's still raw.
No, you don't want rare meatloaf. Ew.
And the one song I was able to find about meatloaf, not sung by meatloaf, was a blues song by some band, the Little Imperials, and it's called "Icicles in My Meatloaf," and it's. Probably somebody, you know, didn't defrost quite long enough, threw the meatloaf in thinking it was, you know, ready, pulled it out thinking
it
was
ready. I think that's probably a double entendre.
Do you?
I don't think it's literally frozen meatloaf.
I think it's a homonym.
It's a homonym.
I think it's a whiskey whopper with icicles in my meatloaf.
Icicles in my meatloaf. Wow. Should I play a little bit of that?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Give these people some love.
Icicle. Here it is. What is there?
No! In my meatloaf.
Holy camoly.
You're a blues man.
He's not happy.
You know the why? It really was cool. And everything was on the food. I tell you what, the table was great. But there was something that didn't wait. I didn't want to rock her boat. There was little icicles in my meatloaf.
Yeah! Now that's a great song.
In my meatloaf.
Wouldn't that be a bummer?
In my meatloaf.
It would be such a bummer.
Now that I listen to it, I think it's literally about icicles in his meatloaf. I don't think that's double entendre. I think that's absolutely was the problem.
I mean, can you imagine his feeling? No wonder he has the blues. I mean, the aroma filling the house of a delicious meatloaf, all those meats just tantalizing his nostrils and salivating over it and then biting into it and a popsicle.
Now, Samuel has a recommendation. He says, in my house, we make, get ready for this, meatloaf waffles.
What?
Well, you know, I've done this with leftover mashed potatoes, but I guess if you had leftover meatloaf, you take the waffle iron out the next morning.
And you waffle ice?
And you waffle it.
Wow.
It'd probably be crisp, delicious. You'd want to, you know, sear it on the outside, but you wouldn't want to cook it all the way through.
Because, you know, I've done something sort of the opposite where I'm making a meatloaf and I want to make sure that it's tasty before I, you know, commit to putting it in the loaf pan. So I take a little bit of the mix and then I fry
crisp
it up.
Crisp it up.
So that I can taste it and see, okay, now that's good.
Yeah, no, that's smart. Right.
It's not like cookie dough that you can, like, eat by the handful. There's my other kid. Sorry. So, Henry, how was our meatloaf the other night?
Good.
Why was it so good? Because it's meat. Yep,
yeah,
that's right.
That's it.
There's meat.
But see, here's a kid who loves meatloaf. So I think I have to, of the two choices I had at the beginning of the show, which is either I grew out of my hatred of meatloaf or B, meatloaf got better. I think I have to say meatloaf got better.
You were just, you almost slurred that.
Yeah.
I think I have to say.
I think I have to say. Meatloaf got better.
Meatloaf is way better.
That's because
I'm just sending you right now the James Beard recipe for meatloaf.
Today,
I mean, when James Beard's, you know, dabbling in the loaf, you know that it's gone upscale.
Is corned beef hash related to meatloaf? No.
No, no, no.
Good, because we could do a show on hash next week.
Let's do a hash.
I love hash.
I need to do something sort of vegetarian, though, coming
That's
up.
That's hash is more vegetarian than meatloaf. You kind of gradually work your way into vegetarian.
Yeah, there you go. We'll just sort of, yeah, we're doing a slow withdrawal from meat for just a little bit.
There's peppers and onions and potatoes, and that's kind of diluting the meat. Meatloaf's all meat, baby.
Yeah, well, and some breadcrumbs, and of course, possibly a hard-boiled egg, and peppers and ketchup.
What kind of meatloaf, from the 52 meatloaf catalog, what kind of meatloaf is Cammy Blackstone making tonight?
You know what? I'm not making loaf tonight. However, oh, here's the one I was telling you about. The lean turkey loaf with caramelized vegetables.
Oh, God.
That's a super good meatloaf if you're on a diet.
All right.
It is really, really good.
On a diet.
And then I've also made many times, like I said, the dream loaf. But when I made meatloaf the other night, I did make the Lipton. I made the Lipton loaf. And it was fine. It was delicious. You know what? You put enough bacon on top and you're good. Yeah, bacon. Bacon. He's my bacon freak child.
No matter where we go with this show, it always comes back to bacon.
It always comes back. And you know what? We are due for yet another bacon episode because there was a huge article in the San Francisco Chronicle today about how bacon is now sort of gotten to the varietal stage the way wine is.
Oh, yeah.
And now you want to know where your bacon is from.
I only eat Nyman Shell bacon, and it has to be from a month without an R in it. Well, you don't want to eat bacon from a month with an R.
You are dying for May, aren't you?
May is bacon month for our household. If we celebrate.
See, that's funny, the opposite, because I have a friend who only makes bacon when it snows. She lives in Tennessee.
Well, she probably has access to maples. Maple syrup, maple candy. That makes a difference.
So I don't know, Leo, if you want to go out with a meatloaf song by Meatloaf himself.
I guess we could.
I mean, what a great genius idea of his to come up with the name Meatloaf.
He's a homonym, isn't he? Or no?
Well, he might be an onomatopoeia that's named the sound you make, right? He sounds like a meatloaf just sizzling away.
I want you. He lost a lot of weight, though. He doesn't look good.
You know, he was in, what did we just see, Meatloaf? Oh, no, before that.
He was just in a movie.
He was just in Pick of Destiny.
Yeah, he is in the Pick of Destiny.
He plays Jack Black's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good in that. But I also saw him in another movie recently, because he's thin. He's not the same. I like the meatloaf of earlier days. The meatloaf who...
2 out of 3 ain't bad, baby.
Would do anything
for
love. The man who has traveled across the universe through the years to find her. Ladies and gentlemen, another Munchcast bites the loaf. We will see you next time, Cammy Blackstone. Perhaps it's hash. Who knows what it'll be? Doesn't matter.
I'm
open to suggestions. That's all I could say. Cammy Blackstone.
Hi, Leo.
We'll see you next time on Munchcast.
I won't do that.